Rapture by Robert C. Newman. A brief abstract of this talk. A sketch of the different views for the rapture. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, partial rapture, and arguments for each. The term rapture. The term is used in a very special way in theology, not the usual meaning of state of being carried away by joy, love, etc., nor the common expression of great joy, but rather an older, now archaic, literal meaning, being carried away physically from the Latin word rapera, related to our English word rape. In theology, this term is specialized to the snatching away of believers at the Lord's coming to be with him. Now, the rapture debate consists of this, that scripture, Christians disagree on when the rapture will take place relative to the tribulation. Will it occur before, during, or after the Great Tribulation? And will it involve all or only part of the saints then living on earth? And that then brings us to the question of what does the word tribulation or great tribulation mean? In general, the word tribulation is defined in the dictionary as great misery or distress, as from oppression, deep sorrow, something that causes suffering or distress. In theology, the word is often used this way, but it also has a narrower specialized meaning. This narrower specialized meaning is applied to the worst time of disaster that will occur on earth, and is usually called the Great Tribulation, but sometimes from Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, the time of Jacob's trouble. Here's the passage in which the term occurs, the term Great Tribulation occurs. Matthew 24, 20, NASU. Jesus is saying to his disciples on the Mount of Olives, "But pray that your flight will not be in the winter, nor on a Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short." Or the time of Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, NIV. "How awful that day will be. None will be like it. It will be a time of trouble for Jacob, but he will be saved out of it," where Jacob is used as a metonymy for the people of Israel. The various views on the rapture. Pre-trib rapture. The rapture occurs shortly before the Great Tribulation. Mid-trib rapture. The rapture occurs during the Great Tribulation. Post-trib rapture. The rapture occurs just after the Great Tribulation. Partial rapture. Only certain of the saints will be raptured before the Great Tribulation. The others will go through it. Let's look, first of all, at the case for a pre-trib rapture. This is usually based on a sharp division between the church and Israel, as is characterized by dispensationalists generally. There's an emphasis on the any moment return of Christ, that he might come back at any moment. The church is to escape from God's wrath, 1 Thessalonians 1:10 and 5:9. We'll look at these in just a second. And the church is to be kept from the hour of temptation, Revelation 3:10. Let's look at each of these passages. The church is to escape from God's wrath, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Paul says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come." And then over in 1 Thessalonians 5:9 he says, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then the church is to be kept from the hour of temptation, Revelation 3:10, NASU. "Because you have kept the word of my perseverance," says Jesus, "I will also keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." So that's the case very quickly for a pre-trib rapture. Case for a mid-trib rapture. Midribs agree with pre-trib regarding Christians avoiding God's wrath. The midribs point out that all the rapture passages have a trumpet, which Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:52 calls the, quote, last trumpet, unquote. And then midribs point out that the last trumpet we know about is the seventh in Revelation, which is in the midst of the tribulation period. That's basically, very briefly, the case for a mid-trib rapture. Case for a post-trib rapture. The only rapture that is explicitly located in Scripture is the one that comes, quote, immediately after the tribulation of those days, unquote, Matthew 24:29. And secondly, it looks like Paul's teaching on the rapture is drawn from this passage in Jesus' Olivet Discourse. The classic passages on the rapture are 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, and 1 Corinthians 15:50-54, and the classic passage on tribulation is one that we read just a bit up before, Matthew 24:9-28. We'll read the first two of these in their entirety, and then sketch for you Matthew 24:9-28. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. And this 1 Corinthians 15:50-54. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will put on the imperishable, and this mortal will put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Since the Matthew 24 passage 9-20 is rather long, we'll just summarize it here for you. We find in verses 9-14 a description of the persecution of believers, that believers will be hated and killed, that there will be false prophets, increased wickedness, but that the gospel will go to all the nations. Then Jesus sketches for us in 15-25 the abomination of desolation, which he does not explain, but has something to do with Jerusalem, and believers are told to get out of the Jerusalem area. And then in 26-28, he sketches his return and says, don't be misled that my coming will be unmistakable, like lightning flashing from east to west, or like vultures, which you can see circling the air far long before you actually see the body that they're circling over. Well, what's the place of the rapture in this? Matthew 24:9-28 is immediately followed by what looks like a description of the rapture. See Matthew 24:29-31 on the following panel. So here's Matthew 24:29-31. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he shall send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Note the parallels here. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, the Lord comes from heaven with a loud command, with a voice of the archangel, with a trumpet call of God, the dead in Christ and those still alive are caught up to be with him. Matthew 24, verses 29 through 31. The Son of Man is coming on the clouds. He sends his angels with a loud trumpet call and gathers his elect. If we compare 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5 with Matthew 24, we see this comparison that the Lord returns, chapter 4, verse 15, and Matthew 24, 30, that he returns noticeably, 4:16, with Matthew 24, 27, and 30, that he returns with angels, 4:16, and Matthew 24, 31, that he returns with a trumpet, 4:16, 24, 31, that believers are gathered, 4:15 through 17, and 24, 31, that the time is unknown, 5:1, 4:24, 36, that the coming is compared to a thief, 5:2, 24, 43 to 48, and it is compared to birth pains, 5:3, and 24, 8. Conclusions. These and other parallels suggest that Paul is repeating Jesus' teaching here in 1 Thessalonians. See Paul's remark in 1 Thessalonians 4:15, which we'll show in the next panel. See the article in the Journal of the Evangelical Theological Society by Henry G. Waterman, which appears in Volume 18, 1975, pages 105 to 113. If so, then Matthew 24 expressly teaches a post-tribulational rapture. Here's the 1 Thessalonians 4:15 passage. For this we say to you, says Paul, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Well, the point I was making there is, this we say to you by the word of the Lord. Paul has this as the word of the Lord. And that might, of course, be something that was revealed to him privately, certainly Jesus did say this that we see in the Olivet Discourse, and so Paul may be calling his readers' attention to the fact that this already appears in the Gospel of Matthew. Lastly, the case for a partial rapture. This is mainly directed against the pre-trib rapture by citing passages emphasizing the need to be ready. If the rapture is after the tribulation, it probably doesn't make much difference whether the rapture would be partial or not. For further reading, see the book Three Views on the Rapture, in which Feinberg gives the pre-trib view, Archer the mid-trib view, Moo the post-trib view, and Ryder the history of the positions. Also for further reading, see the book by Doug and Virginia Chin, A Post-Trib Alternative to the Pre-Trib Rapture. Well, that's the end of our talk here. We will find out one day who is right. In the meantime, we need to be ready to face God. When I gave this talk for some people in our lead MDiv program, we added a panel on what are the practical values of the rapture. And I sketched these for you here in our last panel. If the rapture is pre-trib, those Christians who are alive will escape the Great Tribulation. If the rapture is mid-trib and some post-trib, Christians who are alive will escape the bowls of wrath. In any case, God will intervene and will not let all of the saints die at the hands of Antichrist. And more important than this, the story has a good ending.